You're listening to Let's Talk Macro,
brought to you by Bandhan Mutual Fund.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Macro, everybody. We've got the podcast on macroeconomics by Bandhan Mutual Fund here to wrap up your month in macroeconomics. And as always, we're going to be discussing interesting global and domestic macroeconomic topics and events. We've got with us Srijith Balasubramanian, economist in the Fixed Income Fund Management team, without whom we couldn't possibly do this rundown. Hi, Srijith. Welcome back. How you been doing?
Thank you, Ella. I'm good. How's it going for you?
All well. I think, you know, we had a little bit of a break. You know, it's festive season in India. Yeah. And a well-deserved break. And now we're back. So to set the context, India has been experiencing a cyclical moderation in nominal growth amidst global challenges like higher US tariffs and heightened uncertainty, right? And while there is optimism on eventual tariff rates, the rural economy has also been a silver lining given good monsoon season rainfall this year. I mean, seriously, it does not seem to end. So in this episode, we discuss the various aspects of rural India, what the data says on monsoon rainfall and crop sowing, and what all this means for inflation and economic growth. We've got to contextualize it within the macroeconomic landscape. So Srijith, let's begin with the monsoon. It's been quite a crucial event every year, but this year especially so, right? Could you first give us an idea of the significance of the season for the economy?
Sure. So the southwest monsoon season, which runs from June to September, accounts for around 75% of India's annual rainfall. And it coincides with the kharif crop sowing season, during which, you know, around 85% of the annual rice production occurs. Now, this is important because more than 50% of the area under food grain cultivation in India is still rain-fed. And the monsoon rainfall fills up reservoirs which are used for irrigation. In fact, it even helps maintain adequate soil moisture for the next season, which is the Rabi crop sowing season from October to December. So overall, it plays a very crucial role for agriculture in India, which has, as we know, an 18% share in overall economic output and employs more than 45% of the people. Now, this in turn therefore impacts rural private consumption. And this is, again, apart from its impact on inflation. So, for example, it directly impacts production of rice, which is cultivated mainly during the kharif season. And rice has a slightly under 5% weight in the India CPI basket. And similarly for pulses, which have, I think, around 2.4% weight in the CPI basket. So the price impact is there, but it's not, again, straightforward if you see the correlation over the years, because there are various other factors like, you know, food grain stocks, supply side measures by the government, particularly the central government, to mitigate any price rises, like, for instance, open market sales. And we've seen trade restrictions and you know, changes in minimum support prices, the MSPs. So these things also have an impact. And therefore, the impact on inflation from monsoon is not straightforward. And if you also see the recent higher food inflation episodes, they've also been driven more by perishables, like, you know, particularly vegetables, which are less reliant on monsoon rainfall. So overall, again, the direct impact of monsoon rainfall is more pronounced on agriculture output and private consumption than on inflation.
Okay, cool. It is important to understand the specific significance of monsoon rainfall, especially because it's such a unique season to this part of the world, right? Now, I know it's been a month since the monsoon season officially ended, though unofficially, we're still getting some rain here and there. But could you give us the main contours of the season that went by?
So, monsoon rainfall ended above normal for the second year in a row. This time was 8% above normal. Normal is the long period average that is given by the India Meteorological Department, the IMD. Now, if we see the distribution, we typically see the distribution across months, which is the temporal distribution, across geographies, which is the spatial distribution. So, if you, for example, see the distribution across months, it was quite balanced, except in some months and geographies also, which witnessed heavy rainfall. So, for example, rainfall was 16%, I think, above normal in the month of September. And if you see by region, it was 27% above normal for Northwest India. That is during the whole season. But overall, again, it was quite balanced. And importantly, I think what matters is the kharif crop sowing. And there, the total sowing was around 0.5-0.6% higher than last year. But if you see for rice and pulses, sowing there were up you know, more than 1%. And the other thing that we also track is the reservoir levels, which are also, again, broadly above both normal levels and previous year levels. So which is good for the following Rabi season also, which it depends more on irrigation from the reservoirs.
Okay, so all that indicates, you know, overall healthy rainfall and reservoir levels and Kharif crop sowing. Now, coming to the impact of all of these facts and statistics, right? How do you see the impact playing out on inflation specifically?
Okay, so as I mentioned, the impact of inflation is not really straightforward because there are various other factors. And if you see the current face of soft food inflation that we are experiencing, you know, this has been driven more by vegetables, pulses, meat and fish, and even spices, and less by, you know, cereals. But more recently, inflation in cereals has been soft. And if procurement of rice and pulses this season and of wheat in the next season, let's say if that goes through strongly, and that should help the food inflation outlook. But again, the big point for food inflation is that perishable inflation will continue to be a major factor.
So price of perishables like vegetables will be more important, but hopefully no major concerns from cereals, right, if procurement goes well. Now, on the optimism about the rural economy this year, how do you see that? Is it valid optimism?
Okay, so if you see data, so if you, for instance, see the rural wage growth data, by the way, we have it only till June as of now. The nominal growth, that is the nominal wage growth number, has picked up. But if you see the real number, which is the number that is adjusted for inflation, that has risen very sharply because rural CPI, rural inflation, has eased materially. But nevertheless, it indicates higher purchasing power, right? Because in real terms, wages have grown, you know, much more. The pickup in nominal wage growth is also actually driven more by agriculture-related activities. So we have to see how data from July moves and whether non-agri wage growth in the rural side, for example, construction-related, etc., picks up as well. Because even that is a good part of rural. And rural is not just agri, but it is non-agri also. The other aspect is that food inflation is also a broad proxy for farm income. And and like we said, this has been rising only modestly because we are going through a phase of soft food inflation. But the other thing to also see is that the year-on-year growth in farm input costs, you know, this is something we measure using wholesale prices of certain components in the WPI. There, the year-on-year growth has been negative for quite some time and it has stayed flat this year. So although one says that the food inflation is growing modestly and therefore farm income is therefore growing modestly as well, but the farm input cost growth is also, like I said, quite flat and continued to stay negative. So that augurs well.
And what do concurrent rural economic indicators suggest, Srijit?
So again, in terms of indicators, if you see some broad indicators like, you know, growth in two-wheeler sales, they've just started recurring based on the data that we have till September. And the GST rate cut should help here, definitely. Tractor sales growth has really picked up well in August and September. And that's expected because it's in line with the healthy Kharif season crop sowing. Government rural-related spending has been improving. And even certain broad measures like currency in circulation. So that has, you know, picked up, or it has been quite higher than last year, you know, in this fiscal. So concurrent indicators also, I would say, quite buoyant.
Okay, so real-time rural indicators are buoyant too. And with that, it's time for me to summarize the key takeaways. Quite a short and sweet episode, Srijit, but packed with important information for us to keep in mind. So here are the key takeaways for all of you to make a note of. Number one, the southwest monsoon season plays a very important role in India's agriculture through its impact on Kharif season crop sowing and production, reservoir levels, and therefore rural private consumption as well. This year, monsoon rainfall ended 8% above normal with healthy Kharif sowing, particularly for rice and pulses, and good reservoir levels, putting us in a good place. The second point. The impact of monsoon rainfall on inflation has been uneven, given the impact of various other factors like storage, government intervention, and higher impact of inflation in perishables like vegetables. In fact, the currently benign food inflation has been driven more by vegetables, pulses, meat, and fish, and spices. And finally, on the rural front, real wage growth has picked up sharply, although driven more by the fall in rural inflation and non-agri-rural wage growth needs to pick up. But year-on-year growth in farm input costs has remained negative, which is good. Concurrent rural indicators like tractor sales have also picked up. All this augurs well for the rural economy, and further data on Kharif crop procurement, wages and farm input costs will tell us how all of this plays out. A very unique rundown, macroeconomically speaking, Srijit, for many of our listeners, I'm sure. We've got listeners from all over the world, so this gives them a unique take of what goes on in this part of the world, right? That's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back next month with another episode of Let's Talk Macro. Until then, bye-bye.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.